Today, how far will the contempt go? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the other day, John Adams and I on the Interests of the People channel made a show entitled Exposing Deep State Banana Republic Corruption. And what I wanted to do originally was to post a short form version of that on the channel here. However, events took a turn because late on Friday evening, at 6:08 p.m. on Friday evening, there was an additional document posted on the inquiry website. And this inquiry document, which was an answers to questions on notice, related to questions posed by Senator Andrew Bragg to ASIC, following the earlier set of questions which we discussed in the earlier post, which had been posted on the 18th of November. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a segment from the show that we made last week, and then I'm going to discuss the specifics of the new answers we received on Friday. Exposing Deep State Banana Republic Corruption. Martin North, John Adams, In the Interest of People. Hello, John.
Hi, mate.
That's a nice little title.
We are back in the studio, Martin. We have some extraordinary news that has happened in the last 24 hours. Now, some people may say, well, it's been almost 2 weeks since we've done our last show, so what has happened? And it is the usual excuse. When we don't do a show, I'm busy cooking on something. So so there are some individuals and organisations who want a bit of assistance in engagement with the ASIC inquiry. So we've been working away on some very important stuff along those lines. But in the course of the last week, there has been some very interesting things that we can now reveal to the audience, Martin. And that is that there was a set of rumours last week that came across my desk that on the 27th of October, when the Senate voted to establish the inquiry into ASIC, that ASIC itself was attempting to influence members of Parliament and the senators not to vote for the inquiry. So that was the rumour. And when I heard the rumour, Martin, I was initially stunned but also quite surprised, because obviously through my own engagements over the last few months, I was quick to realise that ASIC has no friends in the Senate. And doesn't have much political capital in the House of Representatives. So if they were to pick up the phone and say, ignore this Adams person, ignore in the interest of the people, ignore these reports that Adams has written, there's no need for an inquiry. When these rumours were put to me last week, I said, well, who would they call, and what utility would that yield? And it was put to me that ASIC had the perception they had some friends, but obviously when they picked up the phone, according to the rumor, if they had picked up the phone, they soon realized that they didn't have friends, and obviously the vote went according to 43-20 to establish an inquiry, and obviously we have the second inquiry at a different committee, and that committee has yet to call for public submission. So whatever attempt that ASIC attempted to do to interfere in the proper functioning of Parliament, if that was to be true, it didn't work.
Mm. And just to say that vote against, of course, that was by Labor, who was supporting their own alternative version.
Yes.
Of an inquiry. So it wasn't like they're against an inquiry, they just didn't want that particular flavour of the inquiry.
Exactly. So pretty much across the Senate, it is basically a uniform consensus they want an inquiry into ASIC. Mm. So the question is, did ASIC... So we were just talking about this before the cameras started rolling, Martin, about the separation of power. So for those that don't understand our basic constitutional system, we have the legislature, which basically writes the laws. We have the executive that implements the laws, And then we have the judiciary that judges that makes judgments as to whether those laws have been contravened or not. So there are some important principles dating back to the 18th century about the importance of separating what the legislature does. And obviously, the main role of Parliament is not just writing the laws of the country, it's also overseeing the executive. So when we talk about parliamentary accountability, this is all about have the ministers and have the agencies under the crown, have they actually used their legal powers in accordance with what Parliament have what they have bestowed upon them, but also have they used public money in a proper way? So this oversight function of Parliament is critical to a functioning democracy, a constitutional democracy. And so you cannot have a situation, Martin, where effectively the police, whether it's the state police here in New South Wales or the financial police, as in ASIC, stopping Parliament or trying to manipulate Parliament if the Parliament wants to obviously ensure that the police are actually doing a proper job.
Yeah, and it's worth underscoring, isn't it, that the role of oversight from Parliament is on ASIC, even the RBA, APRA, those other entities. The question, of course, is how effective is that oversight?
Yes.
And we would probably argue that it's not been very effective in recent times. And in fact, those various bodies tend to sort of just waffle their way through. But when actually the Parliament says, no, we want to really go serious on this, well, that's a really important message to that regulator.
Last week, Senator Bragg, the chairman of the inquiry, who was on our last show, he put specific questions on notice to ASIC, and those responses were received by the committee, and the committee secretary published them on their website. So what we're about to reveal is not confidential. It is on the public record. So let's put slide... So there was two questions, Martin. Let's put slide one on the screen. And so this is the question that Senator Bragg asked ASIC on notice. Question... Did ASIC undertake any engagement with members of federal parliament in relation to this inquiry before it was considered by the Senate? The answer, yes. ASIC engages with members of parliament on a regular basis on a range of matters. So that is shocking, Martin, is that ASIC has confirmed that, and again, it's very specific, about this inquiry. Sorry, yeah. Did you talk to the parliament about this inquiry before the vote? The answer was yes. Now, there's only one context, Martin, where that would be appropriate, is that if they spoke to the minister. So ultimately, the chairman in terms of ASIC has a relationship within the confines of the executive branch of the government to the minister. So if the chairman of ASIC spoke to the treasurer Jim Chalmers or the assistant treasurer Stephen Jones, in relation to this inquiry and the government's feelings about the inquiry, etc., that would be, in my view, okay. But if they spoke to anyone other than the minister, and this was an attempt to influence the vote, that would be completely improper. So we know now, by ASIC's own words, there was a conversation or a series of conversations and communications. The question is with who and what was said. So let's get to question two, Martin, what Senator Bragg asked is, if so, what activity occurred? Please supply any emails, text messages or messages on any other platform between ASIC commissioner and staff and members of federal parliament and their staff. So this is ASIC's response. While ASIC will be fully open and cooperative with the committee, it is not appropriate for ASIC to disclose its regular communications with parliamentarians and their staff. Now, that is a completely outrageous response from ASIC because, again, ASIC says we have regular communications. This series of questions was not about regular communications. This was about, did you talk about the inquiry before the vote and what did you say? And they refused to be completely transparent and open with the parliament. And this is... So when we talk about the deep state, I mean the deep state in the US or the deep state in this country, who is the deep state? It's the senior bureaucrats who are there on lifetime appointments who basically really run the show. I mean politicians, I mean having been a bureaucrat, I know the attitude in Canberra. Politicians come and go, but these bureaucrats stay in these roles, particularly senior levels, for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're the ones that really run the country. So when politicians come along, that the bureaucrats don't respect, and the politicians say, well, I don't think you're doing a good job. I'm actually going to hold you to account. The deep state in this country attempts to circumvent the role of parliament, circumvent that accountability. And obviously, if they've done something wrong or if they haven't done a good job, they will basically want to avoid that scrutiny so they can continue in their senior roles on $500,000 plus and obviously continue the status quo. And so we know now that the deep state at ASIC attempted to engage in tactics which we would see in a banana republic where you see the cops basically saying to the politicians, don't you dare look at our activity. We're trying to, we run the show, the police run the show, and that, you know, Parliament has no role in actually overseeing or critiquing in terms of what the police does. But that is exactly what has happened here. Now, given how serious, Martin, this is and how outrageous it is, this morning I have written formally to the committee, and you've seen a copy of my letter. So I've asked the committee, you know, in order to preserve the integrity of the inquiry and of Parliament and to ensure that Parliament is, independent and can't be influenced by deep state bureaucrats, I've asked for the committee to either hold a special public hearing demanding these ASIC officials to come to Parliament and answer the question, what did you say and who did you say to about the inquiry before 12 p.m. 27 October 2022, or to move to the, because the Senate itself as a chamber has the power to order the production of documents. So the Senate as a whole can move an order, and that order has legal powers where ASIC is forced to hand over records to the Parliament, so the Parliament is able to determine what was said to who. So now I've asked for this. We'll see what the committee does. But even before we get into ASIC's performance about investigations and prosecutions and they're dealing with the general public, we have this immediate issue of Parliament, so in terms of ASIC, the financial police, trying to stitch up a deal with the politicians and Parliament in order for them to avoid any form of scrutiny and accountability. I mean, if we want trust in the financial police, this issue has to be dealt with immediately before we can really proceed to any other matters.
Well, it is critical, isn't it? And as you say, from a procedural perspective, it needs to be dealt with before we look more broadly at the issues of matter, which, of course, the inquiry is going into. So it'll be interesting to see how the committee responds.
So Martin, as we bring the show to a close, is there is a deep state in this country. There's a deep state in other jurisdictions as well. There are nefarious, improper activity happening in this country. Obviously, in the last couple of years, people have been very concerned in the COVID space as to what that may or may not have been. But we have now on the record an admission from ASIC that they improperly communicated with Parliament prior to Parliament voting into an investigation into the police force. And so we now have to ensure that the committee and the inquiry puts maximum pressure on ASIC to fully disclose what was said to who, and that if there was anything egregious, people need to resign.
Absolutely. This is absolutely in the interest of the people.
100%.
Thanks, John. We'll see you next time.
So now let's go on to highlight that just after 6 p.m. on Friday, a further set of questions and answers were posed and posted on the inquiry website. And the question that Andrew Bragg asked ASIC was, please provide copies of any correspondence to senators' offices in relation to the motion proposing the inquiry. And this, of course, is the inquiry into ASIC. And the answer from ASIC was, wait for it, while ASIC will be fully open and cooperative with the committee, it is not appropriate for ASIC to disclose its communications with senators and their staff. So it's a big two fingers, frankly, to the parliamentary inquiry from ASIC. And I hope Andrew Bragg continues to push, because it seems to me that ASIC is essentially being, well, disingenuous at very least with regard to the inquiry. They didn't want it. They tried to resist it. They obviously called senators prior to the vote, which, of course, they lost. And as a result of that, we've got two inquiries at the moment into ASIC. I hope Andrew Bragg continues to push, because frankly, ASIC is not telling us the full story. Who did they write to? When did they write to them? Who did they speak to? When did they speak to them to try and block the inquiry which is running currently? Final point is, if you have a story to tell about ASIC's failings, either to you personally or to your family or to people who you know, there is a great opportunity to make sure that you make a submission to the inquiry through the website, or indeed you can reach for Andrew Bragg directly, who is very open to receiving communications about precisely this question. It's a big deal, I think, that senators are actually now asking hard questions about ASIC and its role. And there is a link to the earlier show where John Adams and I actually interviewed Andrew Bragg, where he specifically said, if you've got stories, tell me. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.